Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, you took the family to the county fair.
That is actually my good day. Oh. Listen, I have a slight confession.
Okay.
Taking your kids to the county fair, okay, especially our county fair, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a huge deal.
You know, I think in rural communities, I really do believe in rural communities, it's a part of life.
Well, totally.
It's a big deal.
Here's the thing.
I mean, you got out of school.
Yeah, we got out of school Monday. Here's the thing about the fair is it's one of those things that you do with your kids.
Yes.
We're in the moment.
Yes.
It's not great. It's not fun. Well, not to me. It's not awesome. But I know they're going to be happy
yes,
that we went.
Yes.
So this is what the fair looked like for us. We went, we heard our high school band.
Yes.
Our Triway local high school.
Okay.
Triway band boosters.
If you are listening. Oh, are you kidding? They come to your front door for donations. Yeah. They're not going to do any kind of sponsoring.
We listened to the band. We got some fair food.
Okay. What fair food did you get?
Okay. Fries.
Okay.
Oh, really yeah. good shoestring
oh,
fries.
Especially with the vinegar, the
yes,
malt vinegar.
Yes. Lemonade.
Okay.
Great lemon. Yeah. I love fair lemonade.
Yeah. Shake it.
You can like
shake it up.
Listen,
yeah.
Some of those first sips, when you got that straw on the bottom, you're uh-huh. crunching the sugar.
I'm here for it. Yeah. Same.
I'm here for it.
Listen, and the funnel cake. I
we didn't get that.
I literally would go only for the funnel cake.
I
love it.
At the time of our recording, the fair is open until Friday. You could go.
Well,
have you ever been?
I mean, not to Wayne County Fair, no. Mm. I grew up going to the Holmes County Fair.
Did you show things?
To Virginia. Yes, a pig. That's when the whole
what? You showed a pig? Like you did 4-H and hit a pig with a stick around an arena?
I did a pig.
Shut up.
And I did a steer. And I was scared to death of the steer.
How did I ever know this?
Well, how did you ever not know? Well, yeah. You know, I guess we just never really talked. 4-H really hasn't been.
It's not usually a topic of conversation.
Well, don't you remember it coming up when I got pigs to raise and the whole subject came up of like why our friend Kat, who is a clinical counselor.
Did she dive into the psyche of
yes,
the pigs?
Yes.
Why
yes,
do you
yes,
want pigs?
Yes. And I said, well, I showed a pig after my fourth grade year. In the summer, I showed this pig. It was a red, beautiful pig. And I sobbed my heart out when that pig had to be auctioned.
It's horrible.
And I laid on its back and they had to like pry me off the pig.
Oh,
and so my mom
said, it's like
said,
Charlotte's Web.
I know. So my mom said, I cried for 3 weeks. And she said, we will never show another pig again. And Kat said to me, why did you think that getting pigs was a good idea after all this time?
Right.
And you know, it wasn't hard. When they came to pick up Hamilton and Butch Cassidy to go be processed, it wasn't hard because they had become like
objectively
monsters.
Speaking, it's a little different when you're 10 and your parents
correct.
Really do most of the work. Yeah. And when you're
so
53
true.
And
so
you're
true.
Slopping slop,
it's so true.
Like it's a little different. You were like, bye-bye, let's
I
have bacon.
I loved the fair. I loved the camaraderie of 4-H.
Yes.
You know, shout out to Future Farmers of America.
We need you.
You know, it's just, and actually the Career Center at our local Career Center, like it's, you know, it is such a wonderful, just good, wholesome thing to do.
And here's some highlights that you need to know.
Okay.
Did you know they do a huge square dance on Sunday night for teenagers?
Nope, did not
it's
know.
It's awesome. A teacher told me there were 38 squares. That's a lot of kids in our community square dancing. And she had a video
so
of her kid.
Cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. For kids that don't do things like sports or theater. Right. This is such a cool outlet. It is like their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I love it. I'm here for it. Yeah, I love when kids, you know, 6 or 7 year old kids learn how to show a rabbit or a chicken.
Love the fair.
There were kids chasing turkeys around and selling their steers. And listen, we walked up to one of my son Fitz's in second grade. And he said, oh, my friend is showing a cow. We walked up, twins, a boy and a girl twin that are like some of his best friends at school.
Second grade?
Showing a huge cow. It's like a German red razorback. I don't know what it was. But she was this little second grade girl was talking to us. And while we're in conversation, her cow stood up and lifted its tail. And she ran and got a bucket and caught the poop.
Because she had just
laid down this beautiful hay and she caught it in a bucket. Listen, these are real skills, kids today.
You learn so much.
I know, you really do.
You learn so much about responsibility and what it looks like to care for something.
And listen, I did a dad move. Here's what we did. You know, what happens at fairs when you're not an agriculture family is it's food and it's ride.
Yeah, right.
Listen, I pulled a dad move.
Okay.
I'm a little bit ashamed of it, but I'm mostly proud. As I said to our kids, if you had to choose one thing, what would you do? Mm-hmm. Go look at animals or ride the rides. Oh. And before I made them make their choice, I said, just remember, we went to Disney World this summer.
Right.
So I don't think there's any ride out here that's going to blow your mind.
Yeah, good point.
So we went with the animals.
Yeah.
And that also saved me money. And those rides freak me out.
Well,
I feel like they're good. Have you seen some of the videos on TikTok?
No, but I don't want to.
They're a little creepy. Yeah. Where they start swaying and stuff. I don't want.
You know, things can happen.
Yeah.
Things
can happen. That. So anyway, we still had a great time. We came home with bellies full of grease and a good time was had by all.
That's so great. My good day was recently, and if you follow me on Instagram, what's so funny, Matt, is people will pop into my DMs and say, oh, I know this is going to be your next
good day. Yeah.
But my good day was our son Joey had went to what Josh at Carpenter's Son, and Carpenter's Son is a woodworking business in Columbus that's amazing. And he started out making cutting boards to raise money to adopt their son, and then literally left his corporate job and started this incredible...
Turned into a huge business.
It's incredible. Yeah. And so he has been needing to move things out of the warehouse because he's just getting too much stuff, you know, collecting too much stuff. And so he had what he called a garage sale. And Joey went and bought a few items that he could not carry in his car.
Yeah.
So he needed, and I said, do you want me to bring the truck down? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. And I think that anytime you can step in like that and be like an answer to a problem that your adult kids are having, it's a good thing.
Totally.
So I went down to Columbus. We picked up the stuff. We went and had a really wonderful lunch. We just had a very...
We just had a very
slow and thoughtful, like we just visited, we weren't in a hurry. This place was really, really busy. So the kitchen was really slow, but it was actually nice. We didn't care. It was a nice lunch.
Cause you were on Miller time.
Right.
You don't
exactly,
care.
Exactly.
You didn't have three kids to get home to or like a job that's like, hey, let's have a meeting.
No, I had no Sunday scaries. No.
No, you're just like living your best Miller life.
So I said to him, because he plays volleyball in like a scrub league on Sunday nights. So I said, I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm just going to do some just meal prep for you for the week, because he's working so hard. And you know this, Matt, he's just putting in a lot of hours and working so hard. Right. And I feel like food, making sure that you're eating well when you're working hard like that is so important.
Yeah.
And he's not a baby. He can feed himself. Sure. But I said, I'm going to go get some groceries. You go do whatever it is you want to do on this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I know you've got volleyball, but I'm just going to putter in your kitchen, do some meal prep. And it was lovely.
Yeah.
It was a very, very good day.
That's so awesome.
I prepped him a lunch for every day this week.
Mm-hmm.
I prepped some yogurt parfaits, which weren't anything fancy. It was just some beautiful honey vanilla yogurt.
Right.
And fruit and some, and I like to wrap up my granola like separate so that you can put it on your parfait instead of putting that granola on and storing it in the fridge because it gets kind of mushy. Soggy.
It's like croutons on a salad.
Yeah, so sometimes people like it to be soft, the granola, but I like the crunch.
Same.
Yeah, so.
Well, I have a couple of follow-ups.
Okay, okay.
I noticed this time you talked about Joey, you did a little bit of a, like, hey, he's single kind of thing. I want to dive into that for just a minute because we, across this great state of Ohio, we have quite a few women listeners in your age bracket.
Yes, that have daughters.
That probably have daughters. And I think we need to talk about Joey for just a second. Joey is a hard worker.
Oh, yeah.
He's cute as button.
He's cute as a button.
Is his hair permed or has it always been like that? I
know. It's always been like that.
Joey's had the curliest little. I know.
He's got this beautiful curl.
I know.
It's not too curly.
He's an 8 on the Enneagram.
He will fight for you.
He's very driven.
Very.
Very loyal.
Very. Very
what else
black
do you wanna,
and white.
Yeah.
He's very black and white. Yeah. Very justice, fairness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got a lot of qualities of Daryl, but he does have, he is very much.
Oh, Lord. He has your tenacity,
and
your
just,
hunger, your drive.
He's so social.
Yeah.
He is so social. So social. Yeah.
So here's the thing. We're not like shamelessly using our podcast to get you a daughter-in-law, but we will use the podcast unshamelessly.
Well, you know, anytime I show him and his friends, anytime I get people in my DM saying, are they single? Are they dating? Are they seeing anyone? And so I always think to myself, I'm going to head this off at the pass. I'm going to answer
as
these.
You should.
I'm going to answer these questions before they even come. Joey is single. Race, his friend Race.
Don't talk to
darling,
me about Race.
He's darling. Race is taken.
Yeah, he's in a marathon. He's running the race.
And I love his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So he's taken.
Yeah. So back
Charlie,
off.
Charlie. Amy's son, taken.
Yeah, he don't slide taken. In his DMs.
Brant now has a girlfriend, taken, and she's adorable. They're all adorable.
Yeah.
I love these girls.
Well, do they come to family dinner?
They come to family dinner.
Love it.
Yeah, it's
so
adorable.
So here's what you need to know. If you have a lovely lady in your life, single 24-year-olds, all the single ladies, if you are listening, please do slide into Leanne's DMs. Maybe you're a grandmother. Maybe you're a mother.
Maybe you're
an aunt.
Sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A sister, an aunt.
Yeah.
Like, let Leanne know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and.
Listen, we're not above this.
No. We're not. No.
Oh.
No. We know it.
We know.
We know.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yes, he
and
sure
it could
does.
Be in it.
He
listen,
sure does.
Crazier things have happened.
Crazier things have happened.
All right. Well, hey, that your good day. Made us talk a little bit about our topic.
Yeah, it ties in.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So why don't you kick us off?
Well, you know, I think that parenting adult children or parenting your adult kids is not talked about enough.
Fair.
I think that we, as a society as a whole, you will hear parents or you will hear adult kids complain about their parents or praise their parents.
Yeah.
I don't feel like the figuring it out part is talked about enough, like figuring out what it looks like to be a parent of your adult kids.
Well, listen, I'm more in the kid bracket, and I think that works the same way.
Yeah, and you're also in the bracket of being an adult kid of an incredible mother.
Yeah,
and what that looks like,
and my in-laws as well,
and your in-laws.
Listen,
like what it looks like
here's
how
what
does
I'll
it
say.
Feel?
Do you know that comedian Leanne Morgan?
Oh, she
I love her.
Oh,
she's hilarious.
Oh, she makes me laugh.
She has this whole bit because she's probably your age.
Yes.
Leanne Morgan, if you are listening.
If you are listening.
We love you.
I would love to have her as a guest.
I love for her to get on here and talk like this and be like, hey.
So funny.
Here's the thing. She did this whole bit with her. I think it was becoming a grandma where she does this bit where she's like, boundaries. What are boundaries? All these kids are talking about boundaries. You know, this whole thing. And I do think mental health, boundaries, all those things with our parents, you know, I would have become a bigger thing. And I would also say seeking your own mental health and the whole idea of putting up boundaries with the parent or saying, I'm not going to be here, that is getting talked about more.
And I think
for good reason.
Yes.
You know, I think there are reasons why we're talking about that more.
Yes.
You know, I grew up, we've probably hit on this before, but I grew up in a faith structure and in a very ethnic German family where with those powers combined, yes. there were unhealthy boundaries yes. because yes. it was like, yes. honor your mother and father.
Yes.
Which
no
basically
what.
Meant they could say whatever yeah. they want.
Right.
And we have kids now, and I'll probably say my generation, the millennials,
yes.
maybe some Gen Xers, but it really came with the 40-year-old, the 20 to 40-year-old crew that said, hey, we're not going to do that.
Mm-mm.
And then
right.
your generation, I think, has kind of, I think our generation paved the way for it. And then yeah. your generation mm-hmm. is like, wait, we can do that too.
Yes.
Like we can
right.
say,
right.
hey, don't talk to me like right. that. Or this right. is what right. it should and shouldn't
That's
look
right.
like.
That's right.
And so I think people have been emboldened in a way to create boundaries and to create space for themselves in ways that haven't been done before in family relationships.
Yes.
And I think for the most part, it's a great thing.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I really agree. I my probably one of my clear moments as an adult, as an adult parenting adult, is within the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, when Joey would come home. Well, actually, either of my children when they would come home, either of the boys, when they would come home, I would get so sad when they were getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
and I would say things like, can't you just stay one more night?
Yeah.
Or Joey would stop in and be home for an afternoon and evening and then leave that evening. I'd say, oh, just can't you spend the night and leave yeah. in the morning? And
one more night.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was saying it out of true feeling. Like I
right.
wish I just want more Love. Time with
yes.
him. That's where it was coming from. But how it was being received, which I think we don't talk about this mm. enough in when you're parenting your adult children, we can be saying it from a very sincere place.
Yeah.
So you can say to your adult children, like, can't you stay longer? Or maybe you shouldn't do that with your kids. Do this instead. Mm-hmm. It all can come from such a sincere, real, honest place.
Right.
But you have to start thinking how it's being received.
Right.
Because that's part of it.
Right.
And so how it was being received by him was he would leave feeling guilty and mm-hmm, sad.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, not at the time it was happening.
Yeah.
It was literally a day or two later. He said, Mom, can we talk about something? And I said, sure. And he said, I need to talk about a boundary with you. And I was like,
were you like, oh no.
Yes. I was like, what?
But were you a little bit proud?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because
I would be proud of my kids.
I think I was a rare part of my generation that did go to counseling.
Yeah. You did it.
And
you, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of my conservative friends at first were like,
what?
Well, yeah. Kind
or
of like,
what's wrong?
Yeah.
Or it's a negative.
Like, oh, this must be a real serious thing. And
yeah.
this is so sad. And oh, how sad. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, so I think that modeled for our boys to start hearing that language mm-hmm, and start mm-hmm. thinking about like mental health and emotional health and
yeah.
spiritual health, all of that. And so he set a moment. He created the moment. It wasn't reactionary.
Yeah.
Like he didn't react. Like we weren't upset. And he didn't go, you know, when I come home, you make me feel so guilty. 'Cause when you do that, mm-hmm. it is a whole, you are setting a whole different conversation in motion. And instead he said, can we talk about something? Do you have a minute? And
right.
I'm like, yes. And he's like, I need to talk about a boundary with you. He said, when I come home and I have the time that I have, I want to really enjoy you and dad. And mm-hmm. I want to spend that time well. He said, and when you start saying things like, can't you stay longer? And I wish I had more time with you. He said, it actually makes me feel sad.
Yeah.
And then I go home feeling kind of guilty and feeling kind of sad. So I'm going to ask you to not do that to me anymore.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it is hard.
Yeah.
It is hard not to say those things because it is coming from a true place in me
mm-hmm.
that I just want more time mm-hmm. with him. But I have to consider him. I have to consider how it makes him feel.
Right, right.
And I think when our kids are small, we don't allow for as much of that because these are the rules of our house.
Right.
You may not like them, but you're going to have to deal with not liking them because these are the rules of our house. When your kids become an adult, They have their own rules and their own homes, and they are living an adult life.
Right.
So you have to start looking at them as your adult child instead of, listen, and some people are not going to like me saying this. We are no longer their authority.
Absolutely not.
We are not in charge of them anymore.
Right.
This is now their life with decisions they're making.
Absolutely.
They have their own homes that they are authorities over. Mm-hmm. So we have to be mindful, in my mind, in my opinion, we need to be mindful of their spaces, of the decisions that they're making.
Right, right.
And in our relationship with our boys, I do things like, well, tell me a little bit more about that decision. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about how that's making you feel. Mm-hmm. Tell me how it's going at work. Instead of, well, you shouldn't feel that way, or you shouldn't do that.
That's why you have friends like me where you go, my child said this to me and I was thinking this, but this is what I actually said. And you have to have spaces like that where you have the moment.
That's right.
And then you go, this is what I'm going to say to
my kid.
Right. Because this is the respectful, loving thing to say. Here's the thing. We've said this before too. As a parent, I don't care what season you're in. You are in a marathon if you want a long-term relationship with your child.
Yes. Yeah.
So for my mom, I'm turning 40 this year. Isn't that wild?
Wild.
I went to your 40th birthday party. I was just telling Mallory that the other day.
At Miriam Beachy. Shout out Miriam Beachy.
MB, the beach. The beach. I can't believe I'm turning 40.
I
knew you when you were... my age. I knew you when you were probably 38 or 39.
I'm 56.
We know. But I think when you, and no matter what season you're in a marathon to have, if you are intentional as a parent, you have to think the long game.
Yes.
You have to think, is what I'm going to say about my child's lifestyle choices when they're 20, about the spouse that they get married to, about their career path, about the way they spend their money, about the way they're parenting, about the way they retire, all of those things.
Right.
What you say about those things, you are setting yourself up for a long-term relationship or a lot of boundaries.
It's so true. I remember one time, one of our boys, and I won't say which because I don't want to exploit their decisions.
Right.
But one of our boys was making a choice that I just was not what I had hoped for him.
Yeah.
And I talked with you about it and you said, you have got to think long game.
That's right.
You have got to think 15 years down the road from now.
Right.
Weigh everything you're saying, because what you say now can stick. And 15 years later, come back around and be retold in a way that causes hurt and causes and causes like damaged feelings and a damaged relationship. And that really stuck with me. So if your children are adults and making some decisions that you're like, you know, that is that, I think the line that I like to use is, that is not what I would hope for you.
Right.
That's not what I would hope for you. But you're an adult. Right. And I love you and I accept you and I'm crazy about you and that's never going to change.
And I think the most obvious situation that comes to mind is if you had a child that's living a different lifestyle than you. That could be a different religion.
Yeah.
That could be a different sexual orientation than what you think.
Right.
It could be, honestly, it could even be their use of recreational drugs like marijuana.
Right.
I can drinking, name it.
Yes.
I don't care what it is.
Yes.
If you set that up for a load of judgment and a load of, oh man, this is really bad or this is negative, guess what? You are going to lose your relationship with your child.
Well, you're going to affect it for sure.
Right. You're going to affect it. So for me, I always, even at this age, I think about my kids. I want to have a relationship with my kids when they're 40. So we need to lay the groundwork right now so that you don't say something now that they're going to be carrying over the next 20 years, or you say something about their spouse or their kids or the church they're going to or the friends they have. Not that you can't speak into it, but it's the way that you speak into
100%.
It and how you handle it. And so I think I always, when I think about adult children and their relationship with their parents, I think about how you are laying a foundation right now. Yeah. You know, my mom didn't all of a sudden wake up when I was 40 and go, I think I'm going to be friends with my kid now. Like, there's a lot that happened to get to this point where I feel like I have a friendship with my mom. Yes, you know what I mean?
And let me just tell you, the parenting never ends. It doesn't stop. You know, and when, you know, we talk about,
I don't want my mom to stop parenting me. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Well, you know, and listen, I'm estranged from my mother, and that's been a heartache my life. And it's been hard, but it's healthier mentally, spiritually, and emotionally for our family.
Right.
But with our boys, you know, Matt, I was tired when I was coming home on Sunday night. I stopped at Starbucks and got a double shot at 7 o'clock because I was tired.
Gasp.
I was tired, you know, and I think, I'm sure that your mom, I love how she, I mean, that first day of school that Remy was on her sidewalk with her book bag and her anklet, you know, but listen, there's another side to that from your mom's perspective. Your mom loves it, but your mom, I know she is tired some nights.
I don't know that I've shared this much detail, but you know what my mom does is we go to her house on Wednesdays. This school year is the day that we picked for dinner. And you know what? I love it for a couple reasons, because I think there's intentionality behind this choice. I think there's care for me and Mallory behind this choice. Mm-hmm. We will have dinner together and we will clear the table together, but she will finish the dishes because she says, I would rather sit and talk to you.
Okay.
She's like, I can do the dishes when you guys leave, because we leave at 7 to get our kids to bed.
But that is my point.
Yeah.
Your mom, what's included in loving people is sacrifice.
100%.
And your mom, she's tired when she's done with all those dishes.
She is.
But for her, that tiredness is worth the price of the evening together.
100%.
You know, and for me, going down to Columbus, doing all I did, my feet hurt so bad on the way home. But it was so worth it.
Yeah.
And it was so fulfilling as a parent, but also when I talked to him on the phone the next day, Mom, my lunch was so good. I am just so thankful.
That's awesome.
So I do think that if you are an adult child with a healthy relationship with your parent, and your parent is literally making effort and sacrificing and working to help you live a better life, recognize that, thank them. Draw attention to it. Call them. Yeah. I see what you do, Mom. I see what you do, Dad. And we are so thankful.
Absolutely.
Our boys are so good about that. And Teddy's girlfriend, MG, too. They are so good about expressing their gratitude toward us for things that we do for them. Because it doesn't stop. If you have a healthy, flourishing relationship with your adult kids, you know that the parenting doesn't end. And then when grandkids come along,
It's a whole new ball game. That's right. I know our last grandchild is in preschool this year.
Wow.
So this is the last year of them hanging out during the day, because she's going to kindergarten.
Wow. That's a transition.
Listen, here's some statistics I read. So the Pew, like Church Pew.
Yeah.
Pew Research said that in 2022, 59% of young adults said that they had a good relationship with their parents.
That makes me happy.
But 40% of people said that they had some type of estrangement in their family. So not necessarily parents, but some type of estrangement where there's a boundary in place that says, hey, we're not doing this, and we're not going down this road.
Listen, I am gonna hold politics in the last, 4 to 6 years
100%.
Responsible for some of this.
100%.
Because it's become so volatile and polarizing and argumentative.
And it's not over yet.
And you know, something that in the episode we did with Sharon Says So, and if you haven't listened to that episode, I don't remember what number it is,
but
it was so good. Is really watch for the fear.
Yeah.
When there's just fear being communicated to you on one side or the other, when there's a lot of fear, just pay attention to that. I don't want to live in fear.
No, absolutely not. This is something interesting. Statistically speaking, it said these are the three things that have caused distances in families, from what I found online.
Okay.
The first one is just physical distance.
Okay, yes.
Like not estrangement. We're not talking about estrangement. We're just talking about strain right. on a relationship. Right, right. It's just the physical distance.
It's hard.
That's real. You live that.
Yeah. But several years, Teddy was out west. He was in New Mexico, then he was in Nevada, and then he was in Denver. And that was hard.
Yeah, that is hard. The second thing is a difference in perspective. So a value system, a belief system, or lifestyle choices that would draw a wedge between you. And then the third thing is financial issues. So that, to me, what that means is like borrowing money family. I mean, you had a family business together. That can be really stressful on relationships. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so those three things, distance, perspective shifts, and financial issues, are three of the biggest things that cause stressed relationships.
You know, and I would say, Matt, when it comes to business and belief systems or belief structures or even politics with your kids, I have learned that if I ask questions, you know, it's Sharon Sesso says, you know, listen to understand.
Right.
When I listen to what my kids are saying, when I listen to how they're believing, and if it's been different than what they were raised with, or different than maybe how I've believed, so often I'll think, oh, you know, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, I can see how you could feel that way, or you could believe that way.
Right.
I think as parents, what happens when their kids are little, we set the ground rules.
Yeah.
We set the authority. We set what the rules of our house are, and what, you know, what you're going to do and what you're not going to do.
Right.
I remember in high school, Teddy came to us one time in high school and said, "Can we talk about bedtime? Like, can we now talk about like that we are responsible for when we go to bed?" Like,
that's funny,
you know, and he had a great point, and it was true. And so we were like, sure. I mean, if you're not going to have trouble getting up in the morning and you're going to get all your homework done and you're going to be responsible, you put yourself to bed. That's fine. And so we changed that in our house because it had always been the rule that you're heading upstairs by 8:30.
Right.
And so, you know, they would go to bed. Usually it was by 10.
Yeah.
But they were 15, 16. Right. I mean, when your child starts driving a car, like a huge vehicle, they can probably set their own bedtime. Right.
Well, and I think that's for me personally, that's some of the groundwork that was laid for me with my mom in particular. My parents both grew up in homes that was like, this is what it is, and we don't talk about it. And I think my mom really laid the foundation for, no, we can talk about it. You can challenge it in a healthy way.
Right.
And I'm happy to share reasons.
Right.
It might not always change my answer, but we can talk about it.
Right.
And I think doing that lays the groundwork for letting your kids express their feelings, letting your kids dialogue about things. I've said this before, and I think I've said this in regards to discipline. I would rather talk to my kid when he's 10 about a PG-13 movie he wants to watch than talk about him doing drugs when he's 24. Like, if we're going to talk about, we need to start talking about the small things.
Right.
It's how I feel about social media and technology. Right. Like, I need to have some experiences with my kids and technology when they're 10 and 11 and 12.
Correct.
Before I just give them a phone when they turn 18.
Isn't that true?
That's not going to be healthy for them to go from nothing. I saw it. I saw it at a Christian college where you go from so much structure and so much enforcement
and
of
so
rules.
And so many rules.
And then you have none when you turn 18,
well,
and it goes off the deep end.
Yes. What's that saying? Rules without relationship leads to rebellion.
That's right. That's right.
You know, yeah, it's true. And you know, I think even just the communication part is important.
Totally.
I mean, our family really does communicate with one another. Mm-hmm. One last thing before we wrap up is the communication element of this. And this is speaking to if your child does not live within a 2-hour window from your house and they live further, I don't make Teddy feel like he has to call me every day. I don't make Teddy feel like he has to update me all the time because they're 5 hours away. But what I will do, if I have not heard from him for say 4 days, he hasn't popped into my DMs. He hasn't responded to a DM. He hasn't texted me. I will, like today, I will text him and say, "Hey, how's everything going?" And he texted me back, and see, to me, this is healthy exchange. He texted me back and said, "Good. busy. Spent all weekend with MG's aunt and uncle, and I'm leaving for Bosnia on Saturday. Work is so busy. That's it.
Right.
That's all I need. And I've told both of our, I told both of our boys this when they went to college. And if you have somebody that you sent off to college, this is a great little hack. They don't need to have a full long conversation about the outfits they're wearing and if they're mm-hmm. keeping their bed sheets washed. Just tell them, hey, we don't have to have a full on conversation, but text me back and mm-hmm. say, having a great week, really busy, learning a lot, making new friends, whatever that sentence or two is. If Teddy just texts me that, I don't need to talk to him even before he leaves for Bosnia.
Yeah.
I literally can rest in the fact that he's telling me the truth. He's busy.
Right.
He's getting ready to go out of the country and everything is going good.
Right.
Because I think what we can do is like, if there isn't response, we can then shift into, why aren't you texting me
fear
back?
Yeah. Or control.
Yeah. Why aren't you texting me back? And, you know, and using like our position mm-hmm. as a parent in a way that might not be healthy.
Totally. I have a confession. I have so much more I could say about this, but our time is up. And I'm sure we'll talk about this again.
We are
in the
so
future.
Good about keeping this under 40 minutes because listen, we all have places to go and things to do. And we have a list. Well, a lot of us have a list. And I honestly, there's not very many people I want to listen to after 40 minutes.
Yeah, fresh ideas. Totally. Here's what I have to say, too. Oh. Something exciting happened just yesterday.
Yes.
Our friend Carlos.
Yes.
He released a book.
Yes.
So, you know, when we started this podcast, we wanted to celebrate things. And I think that's something worth celebrating.
Carlos, if you are listening.
Yeah, Carlos Whitaker, LoSwit on Instagram.
Yes. And he released a book called Reconnected. And he spent some time here in Amish country. And it was such a great time.
Listen, it is actually, since we've been sitting here, it came. We're recording on a Tuesday. It came. I pre-ordered it on Amazon, and I can't wait to read it.
Yeah. So congratulations, Carlos.
This is a segue.
Yes. To
into let's talk about food. Because
listen, I don't know if I ever want a jingle. I kind of like us singing it.
You would. Listen, here's the segue is Carlos, when he was putting together some packs for some of his friend, reached out to you and said, I want to give some Amish country goodness.
Yes.
And so our friends at Walnut Creek Cheese delivered.
Yes, Walnut Creek Foods. Walnut Creek Foods has brands.
Yes.
The Walnut Creek Cheese and Market brand. They have their own brand that you can find all over the country.
Right.
But their warehouses and where all of those things are put together, it's right here in Amish country. Mm-hmm. And so one night when Carlos and Heather were here in town, we had just had supper and we still had supper on the table. I text messaged our good friend, Matt Keeler, who is the marketing person at Walnut Creek.
He's
Boots,
awesome.
And I said,
I love him.
Hey, I have this idea. We need peanut butter, spread and jam. I said, could you stop in? He said, well, actually, yes. So he stopped in at the house and met Carlos and Heather and helped them put together this lovely, it's really like a influencer pack, where he sent books. You know, a lot of these folks on Instagram that have these big followings that are also authors will send these press release packets.
Well, we got
boxes.
A beautiful one from the Nester.
Oh, the Nester did a lovely one.
Yes.
And I love the matches she put in there.
I know. I use
them. Yes. And so Carlos had peanut butter spread and jam as part of his packet. And that was from our incredible sponsor, Walnut Creek Foods and Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. We love you and we thank you. And thank you for celebrating Carlos Whitaker and reconnected with us.
Yes, that's awesome. Hey, well, thank you so much in joining this conversation all about loving our adult children. You know, our hope is that as you go through different seasons of life, that you learn to love differently, but love thoroughly.
Yes.
And so that's our hope with this episode. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.